Wow, no sermon needed. That was beautiful. Thank you, choir. Thank you. And Zach, I think he just earned a seminary degree reading that, don't you think? That was amazing. Way to go. Way to go. Well, I got a question for you. You native West Texans, as we heard referred to a minute ago, does the wind ever stop blowing in West Texas? Does it ever? I often have people come, you know, ask me that question from other places, other times, and they begin to realize there's always something moving in the air around here. And that's the source of a lot of complaining, at least in this person, maybe in you as well. I think we have the parallel to those, snow drift stories that other people tell in other parts of the world about how you went through 6 feet of snow to get to school, uphill, both ways, you know. Well, ours are dust storm stories, right? Do you have any of those tucked away? I can still remember one day in my childhood, I think I was in about fourth grade. We lived over on Slide Road when west of Slide Road was cotton fields. That some of you will remember that. And I remember trying to walk home from school just a couple of blocks. My mom would give me a wet handkerchief to put across my mouth and my nose. And I think I was walking like this, you know, just to get through that wall of dirt to get home. Or at least that's the way I remember it and tell my children. But I have a question for you. Where would we be in West Texas if it weren't for the wind? Where would we be? If you think about it, it's because of the wind that long ago, about over 100 years ago, some windmills were created to pump water up from the earth and to cool down the steam locomotives that were the first cutting across of the continent, bringing civilization this way, bringing building materials and settlers and who knows what. The ranchers followed suit. They figured out water could come out of the ground if you had one of those bigger windmills, and they watered their stock and kept those cattle alive so they could get where they needed to go. Farmers came along after that. That caught on that you could make a living out here if the wind blew and bring some water up hand in hand with the wind. Where would we be? You think about it. You talk to any of the water experts around here and they'll tell you we're blooming in the desert. And the only reason we're here today is because of the wind. I don't know about you, but when I drive that highway to Roscoe and then get on the interstate that goes to, Abilene. I spent a lot of time on that road to Abilene getting my degree. I see those big old turbines turning, and I swear they multiply overnight. There's more and more of them every time I turn around, and I didn't like them much. I think they look a little spooky or weird and red lights flashing in the dark. But I want to give us a new way of looking at that. Instead of feeling deprived of that landscape, instead of feeling suspicious or on guard about that, what if the next time we saw those turbines turning in the wind, we thought, ooh, God's busy today. There's a lot of power being generated to turn on lights and to bring new life. That's what God does. God brings energy and power and light to the world. The Hebrews had a word that was very helpful and functional because it meant three different things: ruach, and it meant wind, and it meant breath, and it meant spirit. And that's why we connect those ideas all in one on Pentecost. But if you were raised like I was in the Southern Baptist Church years and years ago, I just can't remember many sermons on Pentecost. As an adult, I've looked back on that and thought, you know, scratch my head and think, why didn't we celebrate Pentecost? I can only guess. But I think it may be because we didn't know what to do with Pentecost. Too much weird stuff going on in that story. We couldn't explain. We couldn't duplicate. We didn't know what to make of, so we just sort of detoured around it. I grew up thinking that's when the Holy Spirit showed up around here. Pentecost, right? Not true. The Spirit of God has been present since Genesis, when the Spirit hovered over creation. Remember? And we could take several weeks talking about all the ways the Spirit showed up on the stage during the Old Testament, long before Pentecost happens in the book of Acts. The Spirit of God showed up as breath. When God's breathed in his own spirit, his own divine image into Adam and Eve in Genesis 2. The wind, the spirit, blows through the lives of Moses and Job. God speaks through a whirlwind to Job, Jeremiah. God was always showing a different side of himself through the wind. Where would we be without wind? I think maybe one reason, well, and Jesus, let's check that off. When Jesus is baptized, you remember a dove descends? Can't fly without wind. Like a kite, can't get very far without wind. But I don't want you to forget the fact that as soon as he was baptized and that voice came from heaven saying, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased," what did the Spirit do next to Jesus? Sent him out in the wilderness where the wind can really blow and stir in a little dirt too, probably. And he somehow survived 40 days out there just living with the wind. I think that maybe one way I'm going to propose today that we could all get our hearts wrapped around this idea of the Holy Spirit, if you're struggling with that, not sure what to do with those Pentecost phenomenon that took place. Every time you read that story, instead of Holy Spirit, put in love of God. It's the same thing. The Spirit, the Holy Spirit, is the love of God. Look in Romans 5:5. God poured out his love through the Holy Spirit to each of them that day on Pentecost. That sounds like language we can kind of get used to a little bit better, doesn't it? And maybe some of those strange phenomena would make a little more sense if we think of it as love being swirling through the room and creating new relationships. If you look closely at that passage, look at the wording. I will look through every translation I could find. It never said the wind blew on Pentecost. It said there was a sound of wind. Oh, it was a big sound. It was a roar, like those, you know, sounds people say tornadoes sound like. Is a huge sound like the wind, but I don't remember any references to mussed up hair or roofs flying off or no evidence of actual wind blowing, just the sound to communicate, like Vicki mentioned, something that was invisible was happening. Don't get caught up on those little tongues of flame. Just think of them as pilot lights. Okay? Just evidence, visual evidence. Oh, something's different. There's energy flowing through these people. They're all gassed up with something. Okay? There's energy being produced. There's something going on here. And all the different languages, I don't know. I'm not very good at learning different languages, so that just sounds way too impossible to me. But I know something about the language of love. And I know how the language of love can cut right through barriers and break down cultural differences and put people on the same page and embrace diversity. We're not so different after all. We love and care about and think about the same things. And as those apostles turn on and become filled with the Holy Spirit, I think that's what they were speaking. They were speaking God's love. They couldn't help it. It was flowing out of them and over them and sweeping them away. I don't know what actually happened that day. I don't know if we ever will till we see Jesus and he can explain it to us. But when I read the story that way and see how love can bring community and welcome everyone and start something new, for the first time in history, following Pentecost, this group of believers that became a new word called church began expanding instead of constricting. Instead of saying who was in and who was out and you're not good enough, it began expanding it to everyone. Not just the religion of origin, everyone. We're all included, no matter our culture, our race, our language. Everybody's welcome on the team. And the Word of God caught fire. Within just a couple of decades, churches were all over the Mediterranean. How is that going to happen? I think that's the boldness of love. If you've been in love, you know what happens. You can't stop talking about it. Make everybody kind of miserable, maybe, but you can't stop talking about it. It flows out of you with such eagerness and excitement. You can think of nothing else. You turn God loose with something like that, there's no telling how it's going to change the world. I think we've all been equipped with kites. We've all got what we need. We've got our gifts that God gave us. We've got community that strengthens us and makes us bold like those apostles. And the kinds of wind that we know all about, like the Eskimos know snow, we know wind. We know what God sounds like in a gentle breeze. We felt that soft brush on our cheeks of affection and intimacy, like Jesus turning to Mary on the morning he arose from the dead and just spoke her name. We know what that gusty wind is like that gives you a lift when you need it the most and maybe you get some relief from the heat. And we know what God's Spirit is like when it comes that way to us, answering a need just in time when we needed a word or a direction or some support and encouragement on our daily trot. We also know what that sandblast of a furnace feels like when it takes at least 3 layers of skin off your face. And we know what kind of character and integrity and maturity and wisdom come as a fruit of that experience, don't we? It's only in the tough times that you build the muscle you're going to need for the next thing. We know something about that wind, too. Each one of us here today has challenges that God's wind can fix. Not instantly, not perfectly, not necessarily happily ever after. It may be that you've got to face a few sandstorms to get where you need to go. Within just a couple of chapters after this story, the disciples have already been arrested a couple of times. They hit conflict almost immediately. You don't take a brave step in the direction of God's will without running a great risk that you're going to get knocked down flat. So be ready. You've been warned. But it's worth it. Those disciples that were all gas flaming and talking love to the whole world, every one of them nearly ends up persecuted, martyred, and remembered for the courage that was not their own. It was a courage that blew in on that wind. And all they did was strap on and put on a helmet and go for it. I think that's what God is up to with Second Baptist Church. Strap in, folks. Put on your helmet. I think we're on our way to a wild ride that's going to take all of us. It's going to take all of us pulling together and expanding and welcoming and just getting on fire for what God has in store for us. I see us poised on the edge of the cap rock, just waiting for the next updraft to pick us up and soar. Let's do it together. Let's pray. Lord, we have to admit, we don't always understand your spirit. It comes to us in such unexpected ways. Through a kind word, through the breeze of a small gift or a gentle smile, or maybe it knocks us down flat. We never know quite what to expect, but I think that's what's so perfect about your spirit, because it's not of our own making. It's something that happens and generates outside of us. And we're just invited to go along for the ride and let you bear us into the next version you always dreamed us to be. Lord, give us the courage to admit where we need you. Give us the vision to be able to catch a glimpse of you at work so that we will be advocates. We will be assertive. We will be strong agents of your truth, of your power, of your life-changing grace, that every single person on this planet needs to hear. Lord, thank you. Thank you for your blessed guidance through 60 years. And thank you for the dream of the next new thing. In your name we pray. Amen.